scripture reading this morning is taken from Isaiah, the 29th chapter, verse 15. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard. I like how the verse reads from there. Isaiah 29, verse 15. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord, and whose deeds are done in a dark place, and they say, "Who sees us? For who knows us?"
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities we have to worship God, Spirit, and Truth. And we are so glad that you're with us and have come out this day to worship God and be with us. You know, so many things to be thankful for here at Sandyville. You know, after COVID, there are times where I think that a congregation needs to focus internally. And certainly after COVID, I think that's what we did. As we started this year, we went out, we looked for elders, and we added to the eldership Brother Terry. For that, we are thankful. We've also been able to go through the deacon process. Very thankful to have Brent and Carl added to that number, and so very thankful. And as a preacher, it is so nice when a congregation is striving to be scripturally organized and do things by the Bible. You know, I think of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, where Paul is writing there, and he says, "To all the saints and to the bishops and the deacons, it is so nice to have a congregation of Lord's people that is striving and fighting to be scripturally organized." And certainly that is a daily fight, it's a yearly fight to try to make sure that we are developing individuals, we're developing our next deacons, we're developing our next elders, along with their wives. And what a blessing it is here at Sandyville to be scripturally organized, to be striving for such a goal. What a beautiful, wonderful thing that is. So thankful for that. And certainly as we go into the next year, as we focus on many things internally, it is time to first start looking at external missions as well. As we have really been focused internally, we'll always be focused internally, but certainly externally on things that need the church's attention. And certainly we will strive together to fulfill those roles that God has laid for us. So thankful for the fruit baskets and everyone that participated in that in terms of donations, in terms of time. And we still have some baskets in the office that need to be delivered. If you'd like to deliver one of those, I'm sure that you could get with me or Melissa, and we can make sure that those get to the right place. Instead of just having one or two people deliver those, we can have multiple people deliver, and that would certainly be a blessing. We've also been working on the Bomar bags. Thankful for the donations there. Those were packaged, and there's just a few more things to do, and those will be delivered. So many things going on, and so thankful for all the work that's being done. And we pray that that continues as we work and labor here together at Sandyville. So thank you very much. Last month, in the Sunday evenings, I was focused on Isaiah. And as I was reading through Isaiah, some things just stick out in your mind. And Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 15 stuck out in my mind. And it just kind of kept coming back to me. You know, so many times people try to hide things from God. And what a foolish task that is, to try to hide things from God. And what I'd like to look at this morning is some things that people try to hide from God. Perhaps even we try to hide from God from time to time. But in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 15 that was read by Brother Mickey, which we're so thankful for that reading, says, "What are those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark? They say, who sees and who knows us?" Isaiah is working in the time where really the northern kingdom is going to be taken away by Assyria. And he primarily works with the south, although we can see that he's really working with both in terms of just trying to get the message out of God. But we have Israel, God's people, and now they've split in half. We have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and Isaiah is really working with both. But what is happening in Isaiah chapter 29 is that God's people, both north and south, I believe, as we kind of read through scriptures, is we can see that a lot of times God's people are actually reaching out to other nations for foreign alliances. I think the northern kingdom knows what's coming. They know that Assyria is powerful. They know that Assyria has a mighty military force. And all the prophets during this time are telling them very clearly, Assyria is coming. You have turned away from God. Your worship is false. Your worship is vain. You're not doing those things that you should be doing. And you know what? Assyria is coming. God's judgment is coming. And God's people, both North and South, I believe, through periods of history. But what they try to do is they try to make alliances with the nations that are around them. They try to reach out to the Egyptians and say, you know what? Assyria might be coming. Maybe the Egyptians can help. And maybe, even sometimes, you can see they reach out to the Assyrians themselves and try to bribe them and try to give them tribute and say, please don't come and attack us. Really, when we think about it, this is God's people. God's people that He brought out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, through the wilderness, gave them a land that was filled with a military force. 4 to 5 cities, and God blessed them that they could go into the promised land, the land filling with milk and honey, and as the years go on, they turn away from God. Really, they just need to be aligned with God. But they're leaving God out of their plan. They're not even thinking about God. They're not even considering God. And as Assyria is building their forces, and as they become an ever more constant threat, they're thinking, you know what? Maybe we can make a treaty with these people. Maybe we could bribe them. Maybe we could give them some tribute, and maybe we would be saved. And really what they're doing in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 15, and really in chapter 28, and really in chapter 30 as well, is you see them trying to make these treaties and these alliances on the physical plane, but they are not trying to do anything to have a right relationship with God. They're leaving God out of their plan. That's really what they're doing. And I think there, when I think about that, how foolish is that, that instead of turning to God, they say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to try to bribe them. We're going to try to make alliances. We're going to try to do these things. And it's almost like they're acting like God doesn't know what they're doing. Why don't you just turn to God, turn back to God, worship Him the way that God wants to be worshipped, conduct yourself the way that God wants to conduct yourself, and He will bless you, He will bless them. He's made those promises. We see those promises in Deuteronomy. But what's happened is they turn their backs on God, and because they turn their backs, those curses are coming that you can read about in Deuteronomy chapter 28. God tells His people, He says, you're going to go in the promised land. I will bless you if you do these things, and if you don't do these things, you will be cursed. And what we have is that God's people have turned away from God. They're not worshiping correctly, and really the time has come where a lot of these curses are going to come right in front of them. Isaiah is trying to warn them, but that idea has just kind of stuck with me. These people are trying to hide their plan from God. They're trying to hide their alliances. They're trying to hide their treaties. They're trying to hide these things that they're trying to do. What a foolish thing we do when we try to hide things from God. You know, I think that this is almost a problem from the beginning, is it not? We can go back to the garden. Adam and Eve, we have them eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They realize that they're naked, and then what do? They try to hide from God. What a foolish thing it is to hide from God. Do you hide things from God? That's what we want to look at this morning. Number one, I want to really focus in on what's going on in Isaiah, is they're really trying to hide their plans. They're trying to hide their plans from God, and underneath the umbrella of plans, there's a lot of things I think can fit underneath this umbrella that people try to hide from God. You try to hide your plans from God. Do you try to hide when you're making a big decision on where to go to college, or when you're about to graduate, or when you're making a business decision, or when you have a surgery coming up, or you have a doctor's appointment coming up? Do you leave God out of your plans? Do you leave God out of the things that are happening in your life? Because that's what they're doing. They say, you know what? We've got these things happening in our life. We're going to leave God out of our plans. We're not going to reference God. We're not going to talk to God. We're not going to consider God. We're just going to try to hide it. You try to hide big things in your life away from God. Plans, doctor's appointments. You try to hide those things from God. What a foolish task that is. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Are we really trying to hide things from God? Are we really that foolish? Well, really, we see it here with the Israelites in the Old Testament. We see that they're trying to hide things from God. We'll do this behind God's back. He won't even know what's going on. He won't even know. You know, who sees and who knows what we're doing? Well, God knows. It's foolish because God sees all things. In Job chapter 28, verse 24, it says, He looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven. What are you trying to hide from God? That business decision that you have coming up? You're about to graduate, make some decisions, and you try to hide those things from God? You've got other things in your life, medically, in your health, that you're not referencing God in? What a foolish task. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths." You know, there's a song, it's in our book, I forget the exact title, but there's an all-seeing eye watching you. There's a congregation I traveled to, and one of the song leaders there, that was like his favorite song. If he was leading singing, that was almost always one of the songs that he would sing. And he always made the comment, he said, if more people thought that they had an all-seeing eye watching them, perhaps they'd conduct themselves a little bit better. He said, if only we would take that to heart, that there is an all-seeing eye watching us, that God sees everything. Everything is naked and open. He sees everything going on in our lives. He sees every plan. He sees every appointment. He sees every surgery. He sees everything that we're going through. He sees everything that the church is struggling with. Why would we ever leave God out of the big decisions and the transitions in our lives? Why would we leave Him out of such a thing? He knows that those are going on. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Do we leave God out of our plans when it comes to our profession, our business, trying to provide for our family, our health, just all these areas of life? You try to leave God out. It's a foolish thing to do. In James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." You know, not including God in our plans, isn't that somewhat of an insult to God? When we're going through big things in our life, isn't it somewhat of an insult to not include God? God knows. God sees all things. All things are naked and open. He knows it all. Is it not insulting that His children don't tell Him about it? We think about our physical fathers. When I go through big transitions in my life, I am blessed with a fantastic father in many levels. On a spiritual level, He's an example. On a physical level, He's an example. But you know what? When I go through things in my life, He's one of the first people I call. "Dad, I'm about to do this. What do you think?" Do we do that with God? The children of God, do we go to God and let Him know what we're facing? He already knows. I remember a few times in my life, I went to my dad, and it was probably 1 or 2 weeks, probably too late. And he said, "Kyle, I already knew. I already knew what you were going through." He said, "I figured you'd come when you needed, you know, when you thought the time was right. But I already knew. I already knew what was going on." Do we know that God knows those things? In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." What a foolish thing to hide God out of the big things in our lives. How foolish it is to not ask for help and assistance. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." Our God, our Father in heaven, He is interested in us. He knows what we're going through. He knows every tear. He knows every prayer. He knows everything that's going on in our lives. Why would we leave Him out of any of it? Are we aligned with God? Are we aligned with His purposes? Do we try to hide our plans from God? In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." Don't leave God out of your plan. Don't try to hide Him, because He already knows. Number two, as we think about sin. Sometimes people will try to hide their sins from God. You can hide plans and big things that are going on in your life, but God knows. But you know what? Sometimes people will try to hide their sins. And we can really see this from the beginning. We go back to the garden, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." What a foolish thing to hide from God. It's foolish to hide our plans and the big things that we're going through in life, but it's also foolish to hide our sin, because God already knows. God already knows what had transpired in the garden, and here we have shame. We have fear, and certainly some of these emotions are good, but when we channel them in the right direction, but hiding from God our sin, that's not going to work, is it? And when you think about it, not only can you not hide evil from God, but you can't hide good either. You know, and I think that Jesus kind of hits on that in Matthew when he says, you know, you do good deeds, you don't have to blow the trumpet. God knows. If you want the glory from man, you'll get the glory from man, but you won't get glory from God. You won't get that from God. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on evil and good. God can see all evil. He can see all good. You know, I think our lives changed a little bit with cell phones, haven't they? It changed a lot of things. There used to be a lot of he said, she said, but now everybody's got a video camera in their hand. So many times when something happens in our country, there's like 4 or 5 or 10 video clips of what happened from multiple different angles. In situations where you would never expect a camera, you know, just a few years ago, there's cameras everywhere. You know that your life's an open book before God. There is not a single thing you can hide. You might be able to hide it from mom and dad. You might be able to hide it from some of the people that are even closest to you, but you cannot hide it from God. We cannot hide sin from God. We cannot hide the big plans of life from God. We cannot hide our sins from God. Truly, He can see them all. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24, it says, can anyone hide himself in secret places? So I shall not see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Do we forget that? Do we forget the judge and the God that we serve? The God that can see all things. And you know, it's interesting. It's something that I think sometimes people try to forget, but the Bible brings it back again and again and again. Is there any secret place that you can hide from God? Any secret place you can hide the big plans and the big decisions of life? Any place that you can hide the sins that you have committed? Is there any place to hide? The Lord says, do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord. Sometimes we're like little kids before God. You know, Uriah, he had a toy, and I didn't want him to have this particular toy. I said, Uriah, give me that toy. You know what he does? Behind his back. He gets this big smile on his face like he's done something special. Dad's not going to know. Dad can't see it. Dad doesn't know. You know, do we treat God that way? Our Father in heaven, oh, God doesn't see it. God doesn't know. I've hit this in a deep place where God can't see it. Sometimes we're like little kids before the Lord. You think about that. My eyes are on Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 17. It says, for my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. Nothing's hidden. In Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, then he said to me, son of man, have you not seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in a room of his idols? For they say, the Lord does not see. The Lord has forsaken this land. In Ezekiel, it says, God, do you know what the elders are doing in their dark places, in their hidden rooms with these idols? Yes, God knows. He knows all these things. There is no hiding from God. So you know the best way to live your life? It's as an open book. That's the best way to live our life. It's going to be an open book on the judgment day. We're going to give an account to God. God's going to know all these things. That's the best way to live our life as an open book. Nothing hidden. In Psalm 90 and verse 8, it says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. Because all our secret sins are before you, God. They're not secret. They're in the light of your countenance. You can see all these things, God. Do we admit that as Christians? He sees and He knows. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, it says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. You know, I think that's a Bible idea. The Bible idea of trying to live our lives as an open book. God sees everything anyway, but we sin, we try to keep these things hidden. You cannot keep these hidden. We think of Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, which I just read. It says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. He who covers his sins will not prosper. You're not going to be successful. For whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy from God. God knows. In fact, I think this is the pattern of a Christian life. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 was written to Christians. We become Christians, and certainly, it's not that sin is totally eradicated from our lives, that's certainly our goal. Our goal is to fight against sin, that sin does not creep back into our lives. But 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. What if we try to hide our sins from God? I don't think that puts us in a good spot. Not at all. You try to hide things from God. Are you open with God with your plans? Are you open with God about your sins? Because He already knows. He already knows. Then I want to talk about one that I think sometimes people don't talk about and they try to avoid. You say, well, Kyle, I'm a Christian. Why would I ever hide my plans from God or anything big that I'm going through in your life? Exactly right. It's foolish to do that. Foolish. Foolish to do that. Hide your big plans from God. You know what? It's also foolish to hide our sins as well. You know something else that's foolish to hide from God? It's our talent. You know, it's foolish to hide our talent from God. We've got a perfect picture of it in Matthew chapter 25. We're going to see an individual who tries to hide his talent from God. Trying to hide their talent from God. You think you can, no, Kyle, I know I can't hide my plans, and I can't hide things that, big things that are going on in my life. I know I can't hide that from God. You know, Kyle, I know that I can't hide my sins from God, but you know what? My talent, I'm going to give that a shot. Really? It's just as foolish as the other two. It's just as foolish as the other two. Do you try to hide your talent from God? You know, the trick with talent is I really don't know your potential. And to tell you the truth, I don't know my potential. That's what makes it scary. Because when you start on the journey of trying to pursue your potential, you realize you're on a journey that never ends. Because your potential is trying to make a perfect day, trying to make a perfect week, trying to make a perfect month. And yes, we're going to fall short. But that idea of trying to be the best we can be for Christ, you know that God can see your talent. He can see your potential. Now, if that doesn't... I don't know. That makes me shake more than almost a lot of other ideas in the Bible. Is that I can't hide my potential from the Lord. I might be able to hide it from everybody. I can maybe be able to hide it on this worldly plane, on this physical plane of life. Some people might look at me and they might say, oh yeah, Kyle could do a little bit more. Some other people might say, you know what? Kyle's overachieving. I never expected him to do this or that. You go back to my home congregation, that's what they say. You talk to my Bible class teacher, say, Kyle didn't say a word. Sat in the back of class, he listened, he was respectful, but didn't say a word. When I go back to Dewey Avenue, they say, oh, he's excelled. Oh, he's excelled. He's went beyond. You know, I don't let that get to my head at all. You know why? Because God knows my real potential. God will know on the judgment day where I could have ended up. You know that God can see your potential. Each and every one, He can see our potential, He can see our talents, and many times in the Bible, God so many times sees so much more of ourselves than we see in ourselves. We see it multiple times. You know, I think of 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. God sees so much in us. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, what's happening is we have David who's going to be selected as the next king. And Samuel has showed up, and he has started to go through the brothers. And he starts, and he just starts working his way through the brothers. And then they're like, hey, there's no brothers left. And you know what the answer is to the prophet is, you're not looking for the right thing. I can see something that you can't see. And I think really what he's talking about is potential. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, he says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So we have Samuel, he's going through the sons of Jesse, and he says, oh, look at this one. This one would be a great king. God says, not that one. Oh, look at this one. This one would be a great king. No, not that one. Well, it looks like we're out of sons. No, there's one more son out in the field with the sheep. Go get him. That was David. You know, on that day, did David see himself as a king? Did his brother see him as a king? Did his father see him as a king? No, they didn't see him as a king. But you know what? God saw him as a king because God could see his potential. You know, God can see your potential. He can see your talent. That's a powerful thing. Something that's powerful for me as well is when you look through the Old Testament, what you see is almost everybody fights against their potential. Think of Moses, right? Moses is going to go to Egypt. You are going to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. What does Moses say? I've got three good reasons for you, maybe even four, Lord, why I cannot go to Egypt. You think of that. I think you can see a little bit with Joshua. In fact, God constantly is encouraging Joshua to not fear. I think there's a reason why God says that again and again and again. Don't fear, Joshua. Don't fear. We go through Judges, and we see so many of the Judges. A lot of these individuals needed healthy pushes, and they needed confirmation many times. Yes, God is with you. Yes, God will be with you. If God understands we're in a battle with our potential, and throughout the Old Testament, God was always seeing the potential of the people that were serving Him, and He would push them to try to get them to their potential. But a lot of them would fight it. You see it all throughout the Bible. Again and again and again. Many prophets said, you know, God, I don't know if I'm up to this task. God, I don't know if I feel like I'm up to this. God, I'm imperfect. God, I have these issues and I have these struggles. And God says, keep going. Just one step at a time. You know, God can see your potential. Turn over there to Matthew chapter 25. We have the parable of the talents. I'm not going to read the whole thing for us just for the sake of time, but it goes verses 14 through 30. And we have the situation that's being told. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And we have these individuals that are going to get talents, which is really money, but I think there's a direct parallel to talents. And this gentleman is leaving, and he gives 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. And he says, hey, do the best you can with them. I'll be back. 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. He says, I'll be back. Don't worry about it. And he returns. And in verse 20, we start to see him return in. It says, he who received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have given you 5 more talents besides them. And it starts going through this account process, is that the master is getting an account of the talents that have been given. And we work our way down through, and then finally we get to the 1 talent in verse 24. It says, then he who received 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take this talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he who will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is the master's expectation with these talents? What is the master's expectation of these talents? I think growth. I think that's the expectation, is the master gives these talents out, and the master expects growth. And the master is not satisfied when there is not adequate growth. And you know, I think about that. How many talents has God given you? Now that one keeps me up at night. Because I know God knows how many talents He gave me. I'm still working on it. Because I try to talk myself out of talent. And maybe you fall into that same boat as well. Is, you know what, I don't know if I can do this. I don't feel like I can do this. I'm imperfect, and I struggle with this, and this is hard on me, and I don't know if I can do this. Maybe we sound a lot like Moses throwing out different excuses. Maybe we sound like some of the judges as we go throughout Judges. God, are you sure you want me to do this? Is this 100% what you want me to do? God knows how many talents I have. And He knows how many talents you have. I can't hide those from Him. He knows. He's the one that gave them. There's no hiding this. Well, God, you know, I might have lost 1 or 2 throughout life. There's no hiding the talents from the master. The master is the one that gave them. And when the master returns, he's going to expect some growth. And I don't know what talents you have. Quite frankly, I'm still working on figuring out my own. Because I try to talk myself out of talent. sometimes in my life, I'm afraid that I have said to God, you know what, God, I think I'm the two-talent man. But then, what if judgment comes around and says, Kyle, you made a mistake, you're the five-talent man. That's certainly something to think about. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, it says, For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. That's an interesting idea. For everyone to whom much is given, much will be required. I don't know what God's given you, but I can tell you this. To the one that much has been given, much will be required. To the one much is given, much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. Now, this is one of the reasons I'm still preaching. I've probably stopped 1,000 times in my mind. And you might not want to hear that. I've stopped 1,000 times in my mind. Is it really worth it? Am I doing the right thing? Is this really something that I can do? Am I doing it well? You know, you have all these questions. I think we all do. I think we all have these self-doubt. We have these things that creep in. I think it's the devil working on us very, very hard. But one of the reasons that I'm still preaching and will do it as long as I can and certainly as long as I think that it is what I'm supposed to do in that moment, in that period of life, is that if I consider stopping, I think of the Master on Judgment Day. What talents did you have, Kyle? What talents did I give you? Did you use them the way that you should have? Did you utilize them in the best way that you could? I can't tell you how many times I've tried to talk myself into being the two-talent one. You've got two talents, God, and that's all I feel like I can give. I don't have any more to give. I don't have any more time. I don't have any more resources. I don't have any more. You know, sometimes my wife's the voice that says, you can give a little bit more. Thankful for her. You can give a little bit more, Kyle, can't you? Didn't God give you perhaps just a little bit more? The pursuit of your potential is a journey that will never end. And you know what? One day we will give an account. The Bible says that over and over again. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 5, it uses that same word. It says, They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. There will be an accounting. There will be an accounting. There'll be an accounting for our words. There'll be an accounting for our deeds. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, it says, But I say to you, that for every idle word man may speak, he will give an account of it. In the day of judgment, for by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. There will be an accounting. Here's a question that I ask myself a lot. And I think it's kind of based off James chapter 4 and verse 17. You know James chapter 4 and verse 17, one of the most common verses in the Bible. James chapter 4 and verse 17, you know it. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. I phrase it just a little bit differently. You ready for it? If I can do better, should I do better? That's a hard one. I understand that we are imperfect. I know that we will fall short. That's why we need God's grace. If we didn't need God in this equation of our imperfection, Jesus wouldn't have to come and die on the cross. I know we're imperfect. I know we struggle. But there's also this idea, if I'm going to try to serve the Lord, I'm going to give him my best. And that's the real test. To give our best. To pursue our potential. To pursue the best version of ourselves. If I can do better, should I do better? I think the Bible gives us that answer. I think God expects us to try to do the best we can. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 it says, Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I thought about that a lot this week. I mean, it's an interesting phrase, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, Now to him, God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I just think about that, is that a lot of times we perhaps cut ourselves short. We serve a God who can bless us abundantly, beyond and above what we ask and what we think can be done. And many times I think that we think it can't be done. And you know, I think God looks at us and says, oh, it can be. Because I know what I've given you. I've given you the Bible. I've given you a spiritual family. I've given you a support system. I've redeemed you to be a servant of mine, to be my workmanship. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If I was to ask you this morning, what area of the three that we discussed do you hide the most from God? It doesn't matter which one it is, but I want you to think about it. If you're going to rank those, do I hide big things in my life from God? Do I hide things from God? Do I hide talents from God? If you're going to rank those, how would they rank in your life? What's number one? What are you hiding most from God? Are you hiding your sin? Are you hiding when you go through big things in your life, big transitions? Are you hiding your talents? How do you rank those in your life? You realize it's just as foolish to hide any of these from God, because God's the giver of all things. Don't try to hide things from God, because all things are open to Him. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24, we already read it once, it says, can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth? Don't try to hide things from God. We need His grace, and certainly we need faith if we're going to serve God the way that we should. Grace and faith. That's how we're saved, grace through faith. We need a little bit of both. We need a lot of help from God and each other. What are you hiding from God? Perhaps it's the fact that you're non-Christian. Perhaps it's the fact that you have some sin in your life that you need to deal with. We would love to help you in any way that we can. Just know that you can't hide it from God. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'll pray with you and for you. We'll help you in any way we can if you come as we stand and as we sing.